We are live.
We're live.
Welcome back.
Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
We're back with a new edition of Mahoning Movement Show. And I thought it was a good idea you had. Might as well talk a little bit about my little Southern trip, which relates to the Mahoning Movement project up here. And that is I rode a bicycle between Miami and Key West. Which was pretty informative and does relate to the project up here in seeing how active transportation trails, hike and bike trails, have been utilized down there and where there's some gaps as well down there.
So how intimidating was the crossing of the bridges in the Keys?
That was the bad part. So there are some... All right, well, first, let's get to the origination of the overseas route.
Okay.
So obviously, the Keys are a collection of islands coming off the peninsula of Florida.
Right.
It wasn't until Henry Flagler in 1912 completed a rail line to Key West that there was an overland route
right
to Key West. So I first started learning about Flagler a bit, riding a bicycle up the coast of Florida between Daytona Beach, St. Augustine, Jacksonville, Florida. I did that like 3 years ago. And I didn't know too much about Flagler before that. And I saw about it was really Flagler's initiative to build a rail line down the coast of Florida that really got put Florida on the map.
Right.
Obviously, Florida had been first. Obviously, Native Americans have been living there for thousands of years. Then Europeans under Ponce de Leon and the Spanish first started coming over to Florida in the early 1500s. Columbus was a little south of there, you know, and then Ponce de Leon was like the first one on the mainland. So it wasn't until Flagler, with using Standard Oil money, he was like Rockefeller's right-hand man and made a lot of money himself. Well, he went vacationing down to Florida back when there was hardly anything down there. He says, this is a good place to have a winter home. So he pretty much single-handedly paid to build a rail line all the way down Florida, put St. Augustine's the oldest European-made city in America, but it would, you know, fall into disrepair. And, you know, so it was really Flagler building the rail line that put it back on the map as a tourist trap, you know, and then continued building the rail line south all the way to Key West. And it was done right around the same time as the Panama Canal. So, right, those two engineering projects really, you know, gave birth to the 20th century and were like the biggest engineering projects of its time up to that point. People said it was impossible to build a rail line between the Keys, and but he did it. So going back to the bridges, so he originally built both bridges and for smaller gaps in the Keys, he would just fill in, but there were a number of bridges, including the 7 Mile Bridge down there. So that was the rail line. 1935, there was a big hurricane that wiped out, amazingly, a lot of the bridges survived. It was the earth fill-in between the Keys. Those are the ones that got washed away, but a lot of the bridges survived. So 35, that happens. 1936, we're in the middle of the Depression. Also, the Bonus Army, World War I veterans who were looking to get their pay for that, they were demanding money and need something to do. So FDR put them to work repairing the route for overseas road route. And so repaired a lot of the route. The rail of the train was done at that point. It was the rail route. Then come World War II. You know, there's a lot of Air Force bases, Army bases, Naval bases down there. So they expanded, filled in, did a couple new bridges. And then that's pretty much how it stood all the way to the late 70s, early 80s, where they built a new highway down and built a new 7 Mile Bridge and built a bunch of new bridges. So the original train route and the FDR Bonus Army route and the new bridges they put in ran pretty much parallel. Some of those bridges sections were taken out because the new bridges had over... more sailboats could go through. And so they just blew up sections of that. So that was the unfortunate part in that if they would have left those intact, you would have had a parallel route just for biking all the way down. And the other thing cool too is the bridges that have been saved, a lot of people fish off them too. So it's not just biking and running, it's actual like people use it for fishing, and it's a really great community gathering park. So on the route down biking to Key West, the great parts are where you have both bridges intact, you have the cars on one, and you have your own separate lane. That was wonderful. And pretty much on each of the islands, there's a dedicated path, and that was fantastic. Where it's bad is where parts of those bridges were blown up or washed away, and you are stuck on the road with traffic. That's where it gets a little hairy. But I survived.
How much room was it? Because I can remember that it was like squeezed in. It was like afterthought kind of thing.
So I'm really glad I did not do... I did the entire route on bicycle except the new 7 Mile Bridge. So on day three of my trip, I stayed in Marathon, Florida, and in the morning was going to do the bridge. I did the old bridge up into the point where it's the first sections are moved. I went to a part called Pigeon Island, which is where when they built the railroad, they used that as a staging ground. So I explored that. Technically, it was closed, and I still explored it anyways. So I did that, but also I had a flat tire too. So I just did that, filled up my tire enough to make it there and back. And then I needed to get a new tube anyways. So I then took, there's a bus luckily that goes along the route. So I did, that's the only part I cheated. I did take the bus over the new 7 Mile Bridge. Thank goodness I did, because there's like hardly any shoulder. And like actually watching on the bus, the way cars like it's, I'm glad I didn't do that part. But there were some other narrow bridge shoulders, but luckily that's the only super long one.
Did you find a tube down there?
I did, yeah. You were able to find in Big Pine. And it's funny, all the bike shop guys are probably so sick of dealing with tourists. So they were all kind of jaded. I ran into another big issue with, I rode just the cheapest Amazon fold-up bike. It was kind of like an experiment. I like to like push the limit. So I mean, one, I'm on a very tight budget anyway, so I can't afford like a super nice bike. But I also wanted to like test the limits of what's like the cheapest Amazon fold-up bike that could potentially work. And it was junk, and it didn't
they
work.
They told
out
you
well.
About it, right?
Yeah. So my derailleur got caught in the back tire and like bent the frame. And so I ended up at this other bike shop who called it a death trap. And they said there was no way I was going to make it all the way to Key West. Luckily, a retired state judge from Georgia befriended me, and he had some tools and helped me. He was a really great dude named Rusty. But yeah, retired state judge from Georgia. He really helped me out with some tools and got it running. He rode with me about 30 miles, 72 years old, you know, riding good.
Okay.
He rode with me about 30 miles to, I think it's Isla Mirada is the name of that key. We had a good ride down there. And then I continued riding south to Marathon. So that was my third day of riding. And then the last day, I made it all the way into Key West. And it was gorgeous and beautiful. But also relating to this project, you know, it was educational in seeing, you know, I thought a lot about comparing it to this area. So down there, when I was still on the mainland, on the main peninsula of Florida, riding between Miami and Homestead, Florida, and then Homestead through Biscayne National Park to the bridge to go over to the Keys, riding through all that, you have a lot of canals. And as we know from the Mahoney Movement Project, we had a canal to go through here too. Big difference though, up here, the canal was for transportation. Down there, they built those canals because it's a swamp. You need to have channel the water to build the city of Miami and all of it. You know, you have to channel the water somewhere. So those canals are purposely for essentially water drainage, and you got levees and whatnot. So that was cool to see that. And but the pioneering transportation method was the train, Flagler building that.
Now, a question for you. The times that I've been down there, I never really saw train remnants, tracks or anything historical. Did it tear all that up, or did you find some of that?
The other interesting thing is the old 7 Mile Bridge, when they convert from a train bridge over to a road bridge, they use the train tracks as the guardrails. Mm. So that remnant exists down in Marathon, Florida. There's also, they have a train, an old boxcar, you know, showing and talks a little bit about it. Down in Key West, too, they have the old Flagler station. So, yeah, but that's going back to this is the great thing about biking as a method of not only transportation, but also of learning about the area. Because when you're on your car, you know, you're in the car, you don't get to really see that much. On the bike, you can see the little historical markers. They're kind of hidden from the road. And so I was able to learn about that. But, yeah, this the southeastern, Florida southeastern, I can't remember the exact name of the railroad. Florida South Eastern Railroad, I think is what Flagler originally called it. But yeah, it only lasts between 1912 and 1935. But it essentially built Florida all the way down the coast. You know, where Trump is, Mar-a-Lago down, you know, that all the tourists to Palm Beach and all that, that whole, that was all essentially because of Flagler. And even in St. Augustine, Flagler College, that he originally built as a hotel. So it really is like, it's like one of the most American places, you know, and thinking about tourism and talking about, you know, we talked a lot about private investment and public investment, what should be done. And so this man essentially built it himself, paid for it, built, but it was the money from Standard Oil. Right. And they made, obviously,
their... you know, in that little stretch too, what I think is cool is like the first couple islands like Key Largo and the ones that are just south of Miami are pretty developed. They're just like any other, you know, touristy type of area. But then you get those middle islands that are really underdeveloped and they're the state parks and you can, you see like a fresh beach rather than a curated beach. Mm-hmm. And then you get back to Key West and you're back into tourist areas. But the middle section is really fun to ride around and explore.
It sure is. Yeah. I found a little, off the side of the road and swam a little bit.
Did you realize cool is that?
Yeah, was, and yeah, because no one's really on foot there. There's cars passing through, but then you have, I think there may be mangrove trees or whatever, but they kind of hide, you know. And so I was able to just put my bags down and dip in the water for a bit.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it was beautiful down there. And yeah, like I said, it kind of informed this project as well, thinking about the different forms of transportation and what needs done down there still to make a easier bike route. And like I said, repair the rest of the old bridges. And so you have that parallel route, which hopefully that happens at some point.
So I saw you pose with the southernmost point, right? Uh-huh. Now I read that vandals took a swing at it and lit it on fire. Was it okay when you saw it?
Yeah. What, someone lit the buoy on fire?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I think at New Year's.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. It looked fine when I was there. That's interesting.
Maybe they did repair, but a bunch of vandals came through and lit the big buoy on fire.
Oh, man. That's crazy. Yeah, that's like the one little touristy thing I did, because there's a line, everyone wants to get their picture taken with it. That's the one little touristy, because I did wait. God, but you know, that's where I was.
Was there anybody around when you do that? Because it looked like empty.
Oh yeah, no, someone else took. I took a couple in front of me. I took their picture, and then they took my picture. And then also one of the other reasons I want to do this is I'm very interested in Route 1. Route 1 goes all the way from Key West to Canada, and just crazy thing about one road doing all that. Oh yeah, there's the light on fire.
January 1st, they lit it on fire, and they caught who did it because they got him on camera. But when did you go?
It was January 10th when I made it down there. So yeah, just wow, they had it repainted that fast and everything.
Yeah,
wow.
I was kind of surprised because it looked pristine when you were there.
Yeah, fresh coat of paint.
Yeah, there you go.
And then saw Hemingway's house down there. That was pretty cool. I'm a big fan of Ernest Hemingway.
Did you take any of the tours around those towns or anything?
I took the Hemingway tour.
Okay.
That's the only official tour I did. That was pretty neat. Descendants of his cats are there.
And there was an author that they highlighted down there too.
Hemingway. Hemingway's.
I know that, not the another author. A more modern author. I think it was from. It's more of like a fiction. Well, anyway.
I wonder who that was.
I'll find it out when you're talking.
Well, it's a good place for writers.
Yeah, know, right. So. Oh, that's where I would go, honestly. Yeah.
And then I took the ferry back from Key West to Fort Myers. But it's great. You know, the airlines really, it was $18.50 to fly from Cleveland to Miami.
Really?
That's one of the main reasons why I did the trip. You know, I like to do a southern trip in the wintertime, obviously, to try to get some warm weather to bike a little bit. So I went to the cheapest place to go to and end up being Miami.
And the weather was nice. So
perfect,
you got to,
just a couple short showers, just two of them, just for like 2 minutes. It was a perfect trip and met some good people along the way. Like I said, Judge Rusty down there. And
did you know where you were staying ahead of time? Like,
I usually plan out when I do bike trips and stuff, you know, just so I know I have a destination each night. So yeah, you know, found cheap rooms along the way and worked out good. And the hostel I stayed at in Key West was nice and reasonably priced. So yeah, it was a good trip overall. I mean, the bike was junk, and but
I love that you were willing to try something out like that. You didn't take the $2,000 bike that was a sophisticated marvel.
I wish, the
death trap bike.
Yeah, but it worked, and I think it's an interesting way to travel, anyway, to see, you know, push the limits a little bit of it. But yeah, it worked out good. Learned a lot.
So when you're traveling with a bike, I mean, airlines processed it just like luggage. And
yeah, that's obviously airlines charge a little bit more to bring a bike. And then really great website, bikeflights.com. What they do is they use like the group corporate rates to get discounts on bike shipping. So, I mean, normally it's really expensive to ship something, you know, especially a large bike, but using bikeflights.com, it's pretty cheap. So I was able to ship the bike back from Key West to Youngstown. Cool. And it was only like $35. And yeah, it worked.
So that's not going to be your go-to traveler. So what would you, if you were to buy again, what would you get?
I've been thinking a lot about that. Like, what's the ideal bike? So with the whole fold up thing, that worked out good. Like if you have to take like an Uber or something like that down there, you can be able to fold it up. But really overall, it doesn't save that much room, that just taking the tires off the bike. To me, I guess the most important thing I've learned is the weight. Cause one, it's cheaper. If the lighter something is, the cheaper it is to ship it. And also on the airline, you know, you want lightweight and also just to carry something around. So finding a lightweight, but also durable, because also on the airlines, they bang it around a bit. So I think ideally the long term is, the titanium alloy bikes. They're both durable and lightweight, but they're also expensive. Right. So
I would call the bike shops in Key West and ask them okay, so I brought this death trap in, you hated me for it. What could I have brought in that you wouldn't have hated, and then buy that?
Well, actually, so Judge Rusty went back to that bike shop, because I got in a fight with the bike shop because they were kind of, you could tell they were jaded. They used to deal with tourists, and here I am just like, they thought I was just crazy, but he showed them the picture of me making it to the Sunnermost Point, and so I did earn their respect.
Right?
So, yeah, it wasn't my first rodeo. I've been doing some hard traveling like that through the years. So, but you could tell how jaded all the bike shops were, but at least I earned their respect in the end.
Yeah. Well, welcome back to Ohio and we'll get back next week on our normal team. But I want to bring everybody up and give them updates on this awesome trip. So,
yeah, thank you.
And glad you're back.
Thank you, Joe. Thanks for having me, bro.
All right. Take care, Ben.